Okay, Jim, we promised Prophecy Q&A. Do you have some questions?
Nancy Kenna sends in a question. Can you tell us when the future 40 years of desolation of Egypt will occur? Before the rapture? During the tribulation? What is the timeline for this event? In your opinion, what event will occur to cause the desolation?
Well, let me just say, Nancy, you've made some presumptions that I don't agree with. The first part of your question, can you tell us when the future 40 years of the desolation of Egypt will take place? If you'll read that entire chapter, and this is found always, by the way, if you're sending us a question, put in the passage of Scripture that you're dealing with. I do believe that she has been dealing with the book of Ezekiel, chapter 29. I think that's what she's talking about, because it does mention in Ezekiel, chapter 29, verses 11 to 13, that there's going to be a 40-year period of time. Verse 13, yet thus saith the Lord God, at the end of the 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people wherever they have been scattered. In verses 11, 12, and 13, it mentions the 40 years, and in verse 12, the desolate 40 years of period of time for the Egyptian people. But in the context, this is not talking about the future. I believe it's talking about the past. If you continue to read this chapter and go down to verse 17 and start reading from verses 17 all the way through verse 21, you see that it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, who is going to come and attack Egypt. You might remember that Nebuchadnezzar, he was the crown prince in 605 BC when he took Daniel and his three buddies into the captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was on his way. He came out of what it was Babylon, modern-day Iraq. He went into Syria. He was in the process of defeating the Assyrians when the Egyptians came up to join in the battle against Babylon. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's army defeated the Assyrians, and then he drove Egypt back down through that land bridge, which is modern-day Israel, into northern Africa, into Egypt. At that point in time, he devastated the Egyptians, because this was key for him to be able to come to power as the empire would be developed, the Babylonian Empire, because his father died, and then the crown prince, Nebuchadnezzar, would return to Babylon to become king of Babylon. So study the text in which you're asking the question from, Nancy. It's not talking about future, it's talking about the past. Nebuchadnezzar did scatter the Jews, took them out of Israel for 70 years. They were in the Babylonian captivity starting that 70 years in 605 BC. It's the same time, I believe, as the text seems to indicate when we're talking about the 40 years of desolation for Egypt. So that happened in the past. It's not going to take place before the rapture, during the tribulation, or whenever. It happened in the past.
Great point, and thank you, Nancy. Cindy Wilson sends in a question. I have always believed in the rapture. I have studied the books of Daniel and Revelation. Lately, I have been reading some material that puts forth a post-tribulation rapture. I was hoping for some guidance and further study on this question.
Cindy, I've got to tell you, don't study other books. Study the book. The Bible, of course, is what I'm talking about. Man's opinions will not stack up against God's holy word. You need to study God's word on any subject, and in particular, Bible prophecy. And I would suggest don't study my books apart from the word of God. If my book coincides with what God's word says, then you're okay. And I may give you some points, some ideas, some information that will assist you in studying the word of God. But don't be setting aside the Bible and reading other material, for example, about this post-tribulation rapture. That would mean that the rapture of the church takes place at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. And what that would actually mean from a practical point is that at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, all of us who are Christians have gone through the 7 years. All of a sudden, we're raptured out, we're taken up to heaven, and then we get on those white horses and come right back. Does not seem practical that that would be the case. I mean, forget the scriptures just for a moment. Why would the Lord let us suffer through 7 years of tribulation and then take us up to the heaven and get us on a white horse and bring us right back? Why wouldn't he just leave us here? That's from a logical perspective. I'll get to the word in just a moment. The fact is that the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 10, we shall not have to face this tribulation. He says in Revelation chapter 3, I will keep you from, not take you out of the tribulation. I will keep you from, and grammatically, that's exactly what it's talking about. The rapture happens before the tribulation period, not during the tribulation period. Cindy, let me suggest that you look at several passages of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, describe how the rapture is going to take place. Jesus will shout, archangel will shout, trumpet of God will sound, and those of us who are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up to meet him in the air. We're going to go to be with Jesus Christ. Verse 17 of that passage says we'll never leave his presence after that. Verse 18 says, comfort each and every one of us with this thought. Now think about that. If the Lord exhorts us through the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the people in Thessaloniki about the rapture of the church, comfort ye one another with this thought. What comfort are we going to have going through a seven-year tribulation period and then doing a quick trip to the heavenlies and back on those white horses? So study the Scriptures. That'll help you to have a better understanding of what you're looking at. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. Our bodies will be made so that we can go into the heavenlies and live forever. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 1, and the Apostle John is writing from the Isle of Patmos, and I believe he was literally translated from the Isle of Patmos into the third heaven, because chapter 4, verse 2 of Revelation, through all of chapter 4 and the rest of chapter 5, indicate that John is in the throne room in the heavenlies, there where God the Father is and Jesus at his right hand. And so it is that chapter 4, verse 1 is depicting the rapture of the church. John says, I heard, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Well, now that's apocalyptic literature. I play trumpet. I have a Bach Stradivarius trumpet. Trumpets don't talk to you. If you have a nice pucker on your lips and put it to the mouthpiece, you can get a very melodious sound. Mm. But they do not talk to you. I've played it for many years. My trumpet never talked to me. That's apocalyptic. It's talking about the trumpet sound calling us up to be with him. The last part of that verse, chapter 4, verse 1, book of Revelation says, and then I will show you the things that must happen hereafter. And from chapter 4, verse 2 through 19:10, 16 chapters, detailed information, Cindy, about this period of time called the tribulation period.
Lark Sessions sends in a question, and he's basically asking this the question, how are world leaders going to explain the disappearance of so many people?
Now, I would have to be a prophet or the son of a prophet to be able to answer that particular question. But let me just say this. When it does happen, there will be the impact and the influence of the Antichrist and Satan, who will help them to explain away actually what did happen. You might notice on television and in the many of the movies coming out of Hollywood, there's a lot of these movies and our television programs that are focusing on extraterrestrial events. In other words, mm-hmm. the mysterious and all that's happening. Mm-hmm. I do believe that this is a setup. It's setting the world up so that someone can come and explain what happened to all the Christians. And with the attack on Christians, not only in the Muslim world, but you'd have to say in our world as well, you have to realize that indeed people would say, boy, it's good to have these Christians out of here. They were the ones causing all the problems. Glad they're gone. I think that's a part of what's going to be happening.
Jerry Jones sends in a question. I know when the rapture occurs, we will be called up in the air to meet him in the sky. Will our flesh, our body fall dead and our spirits go to meet him to be transformed?
Well, indeed, there are three parts to each and every one of us, the body, the soul, and the spirit. If a person dies who is a Christian before the rapture of the church, then the soul and the spirit go immediately into the heavenlies. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. our bodies, if we die before the rapture, but go into a grave, or maybe they're destroyed somehow in a fire or swept away in a tornado of some type, whatever, the body, when the rapture takes place, of dead Christians will be brought back together with those souls and spirits that have already gone into the heavenlies. At the same time, those of us, remember I quoted this just a few moments ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 53, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. And so our bodies are going to become glorified in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, be a body like Jesus Christ. And that body, soul, and spirit, that glorified body, soul, and spirit, will be taken into the heavenlies. And that's how we'll live throughout eternity.
Here's a question that kind of piggybacks off of that. Where are the dead in Christ right now, Dad?
The dead in Christ are in the heavenlies. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those people who die not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior go to Hades, and that is a holding area for all lost people. They will be resurrected. That will be the second resurrection, Revelation chapter 20, when they will be taken into the presence of Jesus at the great white throne judgment to be sentenced forever to the lake of fire. This is Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. But people who die in Christ will be caught up to be with him, their bodies change into glorified bodies, and that soul and spirit that's already in the heavenlies will be brought back together with that body.
You mentioned the great white throne judgment, and just this on a personal note, I speak a lot to young people and also to adults. And as I talk to them about the great white throne judgment, it's not until that point that all tears are wiped away in the heavenlies. And I believe it's because we as Christians will see those people that we never witnessed to, which, you know, we use prophecy. We use the study of the last days to motivate us to live pure and productive lives in this world and to evangelize, to be about the work of telling others about Jesus Christ.